I used to work with the garbage pickers of Tijuana's municipal garbage dump, people who survive by scavenging through the trash. They'd recycle glass and aluminum for cash, find food and clothes they kept for themselves, all just minutes from downtown San Diego, which was not far from the border fence. I was translator for an American missionary group that brought them food, clothing, medical attention. In the years since I'd left, many things had changed. The trash pickers had taken over the dump, squatting on the land and building homes atop the garbage. And I had gotten married and started a family. My wife and I decided to return to the dump so my old friends living there could meet my new family. In particular, we were going to find Negra. When I first met Negra, she was 7. She was a skinny little dark girl with bare feet and a sack dress, one pair of panties. That was all she had. Her family lived in a one-room shack with 2 beds inside, a little wood-burning stove. We kept in touch for decades. I'm godfather to one of her kids. I had lost Negra 7 years ago. Where she lives, without a phone or a street address, it's impossible to stay in contact. Letters can never be delivered, except to a nearby grocery store, and then you hope the store owners will give her the letter. We decided to take our boy Eric. Eric is 14. He has a pierced ear. He wears an MTV jackass cap. He's entering his first year of high school, and he plays the drums.
Eric! Eric! Eric!
Well, before I went down there, I was scared. I actually thought against going. And I have to admit, I cried. So I was scared.
We live in Chicago, and nothing there could have prepared Eric for Tijuana. I showed him the neighborhood where I'd been born and the tumbling dirt hill where my grandmother's house had been. And then we headed to the municipal dump.
It starts out normal, like just a regular city, and then it starts getting weirder and weirder, and then you end up in dirt.
This was all a dirt road where the garbage trucks would come up to bring trash when I worked here. So this whole hillside is now full of auto repair shops and little houses and little restaurants. And we're just getting to where the road just ended and we hit the rocks.
I saw this one dog, he looked burnt. He was all...
That's mange. It's called mange.
No, I mean, he had like little patches where there wasn't any fur.
It's called mange. That's what I'm telling you. It's a disease they get.
Oh.
At this point, Negra's barrio looks a lot like any other Tijuana neighborhood. Stucco here, cement brick there, mixed in with tumble-down shacks made of plywood, dirt streets. The only sign that it's built on a massive garbage heap is that when it rains, the ground cracks open and gas escapes through small volcanoes. There are garbage mines where neighbors dig shafts in their yards and pull out buried bottles and cans to recycle for money. Street dogs still roam the alleys there. The houses are jury-rigged, fences made from bed springs, old mattresses the people pulled from the trash and set afire. Eric had never seen anything like it, except in Mad Max movies. I was worried about Negra. I didn't know what we would find. When I had last seen her, her house was a wooden thing back off the dirt alley. We had built it out of scrap garage doors. We drove up the hill and turned down her little street, and it looked alien. No one lives in cardboard box houses anymore. Now there are power poles and telephone lines. Lights, cement walls line the street, built right to the roadway. I stopped a boy and I asked, "Where does Negra live?" He pointed, "Right there." When I pounded on the door, the children let me in, and Negra came running. We were both adults now. As we embraced, she seemed small to me, and I seemed gigantic to her. But as soon as we were together, the intervening years disappeared.
Pues recuerdo que la primera vez que mi hermana me lo presentó, Mari.
I remember the first time my sister introduced him to me. I grabbed Luis's hand and we went to walk in the dam. And I was really happy because I had him by the hand, because I could show him off to all my little friends. Look, he's my friend, he's my friend. I was very proud. I began to show him all this stuff, how to roll the trash, how to collect boxes and soda bottles, aluminum. I showed him how to do it. And I said to my friends, look, Luis came to help me.
Negra used to come running when we showed up, calling my name from far out in the trash. I would come to this apocalyptic scene on a hillside above Tijuana, amidst wrecked cars, piles of trash, paper shacks, and sometimes towers of dead animals set afire. I would hear this little voice in the racket calling me, Luis, Luis, Luis. She would leap out of the trash and fly like a little bird and land against my chest, small-boned and tough and sinewy. And she would say, give me a piggyback ride. And I'd carry her through the garbage. So now here's the situation that her man, Jaime, my compadre, has apparently been sort of macho and bad and gotten a girlfriend or two or three or four, and Negra has sent him packing. So now she's got a house full of women in a very tough neighborhood, girls. Her sister was beaten by her husband in a drug frenzy and sustained some brain damage that ultimately killed her. So her sister Maria has died, and Negra has now inherited Maria's three daughters. So Negra has gone from having three girls on her own to having six girls on her own. She, at the age of 31, she's suddenly the mom of girls in ranging from 8 years old to 19 years old. As it turned out, we had shown up just in time for the graduation of Negra's niece, Blanca. Negra called me upstairs, and I ascended into a world of lace and perfume and clouds of Mexican hair. I said, Eric is gonna faint. Somehow this comment began the miracle. I went back down and sat with him. He looked lost in the scrap couch all alone, blushing with fear. Then the angels began to descend, and they did it with the kind of natural drama our Latina women know. They came down by age, youngest first, and they walked with grace as if they were all in the graduation ceremony. In Eric's world, the chicks flounce into a room and toss off a nod and mutter, what's up? In Negra's house, each girl came down the stairs, walked to Eric, and kissed him. Whoa, dude. His ears were bright red.
Yes, they kissed me on the cheek. I probably was blood red. I know it was red. For sure I was red. And I didn't know what to expect, you know. I don't know how to describe it.
Nayeli is a word that means flower of the household. When I last saw her, she was a tiny 7-year-old. She was Negra's eldest daughter, now a somber and beautiful young woman of 16.
Llegó Eric, entonces yo dije, ay, se ve muy tímido, así, muy seriecito.
Eric arrived, and I was like, ay, he seems so timid, so serious. He was stuck like glue to Luis, just stuck to him. So if Luis moved over there, Eric went too.
The 10-year-old kissed him. The 11-year-old kissed him. Then, the 14-year-old kissed him. The redness spread from his ears to his cheeks. The gorgeous 15-year-old graduate, in her lavender gown, descended and kissed him. He started to giggle. She sat on the arm of the couch near him, and he sat up straight.
It was probably his first experience like that with those kisses we gave him, and that's why he got so embarrassed.
Then Nayeli, all in black, looking 25, in a belly button Shakira outfit, came down and stared at him, then kissed him. Finally, the 19-year-old in Shakira's other outfit with blue eyelids came down and said things in Spanish that he didn't understand and kissed him and put her hand on his face. He says he didn't wet his pants.
They started playing, I think it was Eminem. They started playing Eminem and they're like, yeah, you know this? You know. And then, well, I'd rather not talk about it. Well, I was with my mom, and my mom was standing next to me. And Martha, the 19-year-old, she starts pointing at me, and I'm like, what's going on? You know, I have my bear claw necklace on, and I hold it up, and I'm like, this? She's like, no, and she says, she grabs her belt buckle and says, belt buckle, belt buckle. She's, and then her and Nayeli start giggling, and my mom's like, you know, looking at my shirt, and then she says, Martha says, I don't know how to say it, and then my mom looks down, and my fly was open. You know, I'm standing there, you know, like, hey, check out my bear claw. Is this what you're talking about? Yeah, this is cool, huh? And then my fly was...
The girls laughed, but it wasn't cruel. His haplessness won them all over at once, and he became the cheerful fiancé to the entire crowd. They began to fight for his attention.
What did I think of Eric? I thought, he's still just a kid. He's just a kid. That was my first reaction. A kid. And it's not every day that he's surrounded by girls who are hugging him and grabbing his hand and giving him kisses on the cheek.
If he didn't flirt with the 16-year-old, she'd pout, while the 14-year-old fumed because the 19-year-old put her arm through his. Daddy, he said, nobody back home is going to believe this. There was a pause. Please, take some pictures.
Now, were the girls holding you and hugging you stuff? I seem to remember they were holding on to you pretty tight.
Yep, I guess I was like a teddy bear. It was weird because, you know, if I had met those people and in like nicer conditions, I would have never guessed they were poor at all. I don't know how to describe it. I guess they could still maintain their dignity. You know, it was just so weird how they could do that. Like, if I were them, I couldn't do that at all.
We were all together, and in classic Mexican fashion, it was time to eat. Eric was nervous about the meal since he's a picky eater at the best of times, and here we were in this neighborhood that's not terribly hygienic. He had no way of knowing that everything around him, the couch, the table, the plates and silverware and pans, had all been scavenged out of the garbage. I decided not to share that information at the moment. They were going to cook us carne asada. I told him it was safe to eat the cooked meat and the tortillas, but the boiled beans or the salsa might make him sick. He nodded. His eyes were huge, but he smiled at Nayeli as if he couldn't wait to dig in. The girls had to go to the store to buy charcoal. They refused to go without Eric. They snagged his arms and vanished. At the store, they didn't have enough money to buy a bag of charcoal. They bought 6 briquettes. The woman in the store had the bag cut open, and they counted out 6 and wrapped them in a piece of newspaper. It was such a gift those girls gave Eric. They held him, but more importantly, they held him publicly. They made a show of him. When I was a boy, unloved and unlovely, unpopular and scared to walk in the neighborhood, my teenaged cousin Margarita came to live with us. And when we walked down the street, she would hold my hand so everyone could see us. And when my enemies came in sight, she would lace her fingers through mine as if she were my girlfriend, as if she loved me so much she needed to hold me even tighter. The graduation was at the John F. Kennedy and Juan Rulfo Academy. Our car became the shuttle running 100 people up and down the hill. The faculty of the school had set an old record player on folding chairs. All the kids were in their uniforms, and the girls were in their inexpensive taffeta gowns. The theme was lilac. Each girl also had a small cotton stole. They all had hairdos, and they wore really painful-looking high heels, looking as beautiful as possible. The small kids were in their uniforms, and the kindergarten kids were dressed in cowboy suits. The school principal first led everyone in applause for the teachers who heroically taught, and the guests of honor, who were teachers from other schools, stood and got rounds of ferocious applause. And they started playing, if I remember right, really bad old Stevie Wonder records. Each class did dances to Stevie Wonder, and all the ninth graders did a waltz to it. Each group marched out and did a dance in the rubble.
Did San Diego in the United States look different to you after this experience? When we came back, did you feel like you were seeing it through new eyes? Because didn't we go right to Disneyland after that?
Yeah, we did go to Disneyland after that. once we got back there, you know, the whole trip there seemed unreal, like it never really happened. You know, it felt like a dream to me, because it was just so unbelievably strange. Like, I would have never in a million years would I have guessed I would be going there.
Would you go back?
Yeah.
You would go back?
Yes, that would be a definite yes. I would go back.